He pulled out the remains of a small notebook. It was standard UU issue. Ridcully would never let anyone have a new one until they'd filled up every page on both sides. "It was just lying there," said the lecturer in recent runes. "I'm afraid ants have been eating it." Ridcully flicked it open and read the first page. "Some interesting observations on Mono Island," he said. "A most singular place." He flicked through the rest of the book. "Just a list of plants and fishes," he said. "Doesn't look all that special to me, but then I ain't a geography man. Why is he calling it Mono Island?"
"It means one island," said Ponder.
"Well, you've just told me it is one island," said Ridcully. "Anyway, I can see several more out there. Severe lack of imagination, I suggest." He tucked the notebook into his robe. "Right then, no sign of the chap himself?"
"Strangely, no."
"Probably went swimming and was eaten by a pineapple," said Ridcully. "How's the librarian doing, Mr. Stibbons? Comfortable, is he?"
"You should know, sir," said Ponder. "You've been sitting on him for 3/4 of an hour.
Ridcully looked down at the deck chair. It was covered with red fur.
Oh, this is...
"Yes, sir.
I thought perhaps our geography man had brought it with him."
"Not with the black toenails, sir?"
Ridcully peered further.
Should I get up, do you think?"
"Well, he is a deck chair, sir, so being sat on is a perfectly normal activity for him, I suppose."
We must find a cure, Stibbons. This is too strange."
"Cooey, gentlemen!"
There was activity in front of the window. It centred around a vision in pink, although admittedly the sort of vision associated with the more erratic kind of hallucinogen. In theory, there is no dignified way for a lady of a certain age to climb through a window, but nevertheless, this one was attempting it. In fact, she moved with more than dignity, which is something that is given away free with kings and bishops. What she had was respectability, which is homemade out of cast iron. However, at some point she would have to show a bit of ankle, and she was wedged awkwardly on the sill while trying to prevent this from happening. The senior wrangler coughed. If he had been wearing a tie, he would have straightened it.
"Ah," said Ridcully, "the inestimable Mrs. Whitlow. Someone go and give her a hand. Stibbons."
"I'll help," said the senior wrangler, just a little faster than he meant. The senior wrangler had once walked past Mrs. Whitlow's rooms when the door was open, and he'd caught sight of the bare, headless, armless dressmaker's dummy that she used to make all her own clothes. He'd had to go lie down quietly after that, and ever since had thought about Mrs. Whitlow in a special way. The university's housekeeper turned and spoke to someone unseen beyond the window and then turned back, her shouting at subordinates expression briefly visible before it was eclipsed by her much sunnier talking-to-wizards one. The chair of indefinite studies had once upset the senior wrangler by saying that the housekeeper had a face full of chins, but there was a glossiness about her that put some people in mind of a candle that had been kept in the warm for too long. There wasn't anything approaching a straight line anywhere on Mrs. Whitlow until she found that something hadn't been dusted properly when you could use her lips as a ruler. Most of the faculty walked in dread of her. She had strange powers they couldn't quite get a grip on, like the ability to get the beds made and the windows washed. A wizard who could wield a staff crackling with power against dreadful monsters from some ghastly region was nevertheless quite capable of picking up a feather duster by the wrong end and seriously injuring himself with it. At Mrs. Whitlow's whim, people's clothes got washed and socks got darned. Wizards lack the HW chromosome in their genes. Feminist researchers have isolated this as one which allows people to see the washing up in sinks before the life forms growing there have actually invented the wheel. Or discovered slewed. If anyone annoyed her, they found their study spring-cleaned more often than was good for them. And since to a wizard his room is as personal an item as his trouser pocket, this was a terrible vengeance.
Just thought you gentlemen would like a morning snack, she said, as the wizards helped her down. So I took the liberty of getting the girls to put together a cold collation. I'll just go and fetch it.
The Arch-Chancellor stood up hastily.
Well done, Mrs. Whitlow.
Eh, "A morning snack?" said the senior wrangler. "Looks like mid-afternoon to me."